How are you? How are you feeling after your trip?
Well, pretty good. These time zones get me upset, but we had a good meeting, and we're just having hell holding all of our allies together. The communists have got the North Koreans trying to open a second front in Korea and got those people just frightened to death. Sons of bitches in this country, the Fulbrights and Bobby Kennedys and Teddy and the rest of them got the South Vietnamese government scared to death that we're going to sell them out and have a coalition and let the commies take over, and that means all of them get killed. And it's just about like my saying I was going to agree with Dirksen and we were sending the troops in and you and your wife would be assassinated. You know how you'd feel. So we have to keep them in shape. The Thailanders are getting ready to send me an extra division, and they're good and staunch, but every day they're about six senators denounce them. So they're scared to death, and I got the Koreans back and got them to agree to give us 5,000 more men, even though they're afraid they'll be invaded tomorrow, and got them to agree that they'd hold still and not raise hell, that they have enough confidence in me that it's awfully hard to get somebody else to have confidence in you when your wife hasn't.
That's right.
And if Miss Daly doesn't think much of you, and your boys don't, it's awfully hard for me to get to, for me to have much. So,
right.
All these senators talking all the time, and Nixon and the Republicans, these foreigners naturally get a little bit worried, and I'm in pretty strong with them. I think they believe in me, and I think they trust me,
right.
But they read all this stuff, and they get upset. In any event, it wound up that they will have their people sit around. We'll report to them every day when we're talking, and they will follow pretty generally our guidelines without kicking over the milk bucket. And we presented 15 sites yesterday, and we've got three or four more in the bag that we haven't presented. That we could, even one or two communist sites, that would be reasonable. We couldn't take Cambodia because they're housing the enemy right now, and we couldn't get a message in or out of there, even to our Joint Chiefs of Staff or Joint Chiefs for advice. We couldn't take Warsaw. Because they won't let, first they won't let any Jewish newspaper men go in.
Oh, I see.
The second thing, they got everything wired, and we would have no security whatever. The third thing, they won't let any of our allies come in. Like South Vietnam's got 800,000 men in service, but they couldn't even be present. And Thailand and Korea. And we're afraid they're going to wind up trying to put us in Paris, where de Gaulle would propagandize against us. Most people forgotten what happened in Korea, but Truman tried to. I guess let's see who it was. Eisenhower yesterday told me of a quotation that Napoleon said about the French, and said that the French, they were historical in victory and people in defeat. And we're so panicky when we want peace that we're willing to do damn near anything like Chamberlain did to get it, And that's the great danger among our people. They all become Secretary of States. Now, in the Korean thing, Truman was a pretty tough little guy, but he agreed to meet with them at a communist site. And the first day they showed up, our negotiator was placed in a little baby's high chair, and then was put up on a pedestal like a king. They took pictures like that and sent it all through the communist world, showing our midget and then great powerful men. The next meeting, they made them all hold 20 flags, and our Admiral Joy, who was doing our negotiations, had to go in with a white flag in his hand, showing he was surrendering. And that went all over the communist world. So as a consequence, about a third of the world thought we'd surrendered and thought we'd surrendered for nearly 2 years.
I see.
And that's what happens when you go to one of these capitals. So we wrote them off balance a little bit with our proposal. I've taken 2 weeks of it. They've moved in between 20 and 30,000 men. I've got that many more to whip. It's kind of like you're having your problem in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King moving 30,000 warriors in to fight you, and you haven't added anything to your police force.
Yeah.
They've moved about 30,000 in the last 2 weeks while we're sitting here trying to get them to talk. I don't know how much longer we can keep them doing that, so that reason I asked Russ last night. I had this statement, I was figuring on making it, and then Clark Clifford and Eisenhower thought it would be better to Secretary of State to make it, that the White House oughtn't to be too close to it. So we got him to make the others, and then we went out to Ayub Khan, the president of Pakistan, and he was meeting with Kosygin, and we asked the Russians to recommend any of these 15 sites. If they didn't recommend them, recommend some that we could live with. I cannot ask you to come and live with me if I won't let your wife and children come.
That's right.
You just can't afford to do it. I can't go to a place where they won't let my wives even show up.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Newsweek, and these Jewish organizations would do if they wouldn't let you come in. It's just like going to Jackson, Mississippi to have a convention in the NAACP. So that's my problem, and we're working on it, and we think we're making some progress, and at least I'm getting a minimum of static from the candidates, and I've got a much freer hand, and I think that if we can just hold things and not to get too political in this country until August, and maybe we can wrap this thing up.
I see. Are you going to be able to come out to our meeting? Or is
yes, I'm going to do anything you want me to do that I can.
That's wonderful. That'll be the 24th.
Yeah. That's April 24th.
We make it a salute to Johnson night.
All right, well, I'm gonna stay with you as long as I've got breath in my body when you're somewhat reluctantly and when you're wrong enthusiastically.
Well, we're, I don't know if you agreed with what I said, but I think
Yeah, I do. Got that? I don't know how we handle these things, but I know one thing that we've got to handle them with muscle and with muscle and with toughness, and I put troops in every place they asked me to, and we came out in reasonably good shape. But
the thing is that there's so much of this destruction takes place before we're able to, that was my observation, we have all these things destroyed before we have a...
Well, that's right. Now, man, if you want my judgment, what's wrong? It's wrong with you looking for it.
Yeah, I see.
Now, I told you that morning because I look about you and I look about my wife.
Well,
she's the first one I look after because you're a stubborn guy with lots of guts and brains, and you're my kind of public official. I thought you got in trouble, and I said, now you tell me.
Them about 10 hours.
Well, we're going to have those now. We're going to get ready for fight somewhere. And what you do is you get to the man that can work orders and do what you want him to do. And then you keep in touch. And when you have problems, well, we'll just move them up to halfway 10, 15, 20,000 running out of raises. I'd rather move them and not need them and need them and not need them.
You're right. Well, thanks. And you'll be with us Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Will Mrs. Jansen come out too? Oh, well, wonderful. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. President.
Okay.